The sermon this week is titled, The Gospel, It's All About the Blood. The scripture reading is Exodus 24, 1-11. Then the Lord said to Moses, Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, Everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us this morning, and if you're visiting, we hope that you feel welcome. As was already announced, this coming Wednesday, we are beginning a new Wednesday evening series. We'll meet at 7 p.m. in the library. We're going to be looking at a variety of psalms, but what's interesting is we're going to look at who wrote them and why they wrote them, and that made it make... I found it to be an interesting study on my own, so I hope that you'll be able to participate. That's Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. in our library. So, a question I want to ask each one of us, I asked myself this question this week. What was the scariest movie you've ever seen? I don't mean the blood gut stuff. I don't mean that. I mean a movie that you watched where you were terrified. And I'm going to go way, way back when I was a boy. And I anticipated this movie every year, even though I knew those flying monkeys were going to keep me awake at night. You know the movie, The Wizard of Oz. It was benign today. Back then, it was frightening. It was all a dream. And yet, we who watched that can remember that movie just like it was yesterday. In the book of Revelation, it is a long, beautiful, arduous, frightening dream. And there is blood everywhere. It all has to do with the Old Testament reading that Jeff read this morning. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out on the altar. And today we understand this is all about Jesus. So there were two people who were newly arrived in Canada, and they weren't from a nation that had much to do with Christianity, not that they were opposed to it, and they were having this conversation in Toronto at a bus station, as I understand, and they met one another, even though they're from different countries, and then one of them said, I see so many Christian churches. What is it? What is Christianity? And the other person responded by saying, and I may get this quote a little off, but very close. She goes, I don't know. I think it has something to do with the Christ and something to do with his blood. There seems to be a lot of blood in Christianity. And even though that's a very basic bottom line definition, she was right. There's a lot of blood involved in Christianity. I want to read this flying monkey kind of story in the Revelation in chapter 7. Now, there are no monkeys involved. I'm just saying, I want to look at this, and you read it, and you go, wow, this is kind of a frightening scene. And there are scenes in the Revelation that carry with it fear. But may I also suggest that one of the most frightening parts in the Bible is when Jesus is arrested and his disciples had heard many times Jesus say, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I am going to be abused. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to have my blood shed. And they all said the same thing. No, this will never happen to you. They could not understand the death of a Messiah, and they certainly could not understand any blood being shed. And Jesus made it clear, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. None. Zero. Zip. But it's not easy. And it took his life. And so in Revelation chapter 7, there is this really interesting passage. John 7, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. It goes this way. I'm reading from an older NIV. And after this, I looked, and there before me was, and see if you can picture this in your mind, a great multitude that no one could count, a sea of people, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Stop. The precious blood of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their hands and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and all the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God forever and forever. Amen. Do you picture this scene? Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? And I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's a pretty interesting phrase. They're soaked in blood and they're white. How is that possible? He's talking about the forgiveness of sins, of course. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them and cover them. They won't hunger anymore. They won't thirst anymore. That one day all things will be made well. So two people were sitting at the bus stop. One person says, I see a lot of churches. What's it all about? What is Christianity all about? It has something to do with a Christ and something to do with a lot of blood. And she was right. And I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about that and looking at various scriptures that do not hide at all the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. Twice Paul says, once in Colossians 1 and once in Ephesians chapter 1, that God's intent was to bring all things together in heaven and on earth. And he did this because of blood that was shed for each one of us. And it begins by talking about something called the gospel. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's interesting to me that Paul waits until the end of the gospel to remind him about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, who came as a perfect lamb, a white lamb for us, who will soon be drenched in blood so that we can be clean because of his blood. And he reminds him at the end of the book. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel, which I preach to you, which you believe, on which you now take your stand. By this gospel, you're saved if you hold firmly to those things you believed. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, appearing to many according to the scriptures. And if you and I were standing in that room or outside wherever Paul spoke this and Jesus speaking it, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And picture Paul looking directly into your eyes, saying this scripture to us. He died for your sins. And now all of a sudden, that takes us from an outsider to an insider into this wild, crazy dream in Revelation that's not a dream at all, but an apocalyptic, symbolic story of the importance of the shedding of the perfect Lamb, Christ, for us. And so there's scriptures that we know. And even though Peter was the one, after Jesus saying, here's what's going to happen to me, Peter responds by saying, this shall never happen to you. And Christ responds by saying, Peter, if it doesn't happen to me, you can have no part of me. This is the intent of God. As was read in the Old Testament, blood being poured out on the altar. The altar, of course, is going to be Jesus. For you know it's not with perishable things, Peter writes, now as a believer. For you know it's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that we have been redeemed from this life, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without what? Without spot, without blemish. You know, it's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that we dream of. Wouldn't it be great to win the lottery? Wouldn't it be great to be full of riches and all of that? Jesus, I've got something better, something much better, because it lasts eternally, forever, washed in the blood, in the Lamb, making us white. Can you imagine standing in a shower and blood soaking you, and as soon as you step out of the tub, you are as white as snow? This is the sacrifice of Jesus. So Paul instructs Christians in Corinth about the significance of this preciousness, if you will, of communion. So in just a moment, we're going to have communion. We take the cracker representing Christ's body. We take that little cup representing his blood. And then we move on like nothing's happened. But something has happened, because you and I are involved in this story. And even though it's 2,000 years later, and we look different than people did 2,000 years ago, we dress differently than people did 2,000 years ago, there's no crucifixion happening in Canada these days, but it's just as relevant today for us as if we were standing there. That blood is for all of us, from generation to generation to generation. And this cup represents this blood. It would be very unhealthy, and I would not recommend it. But wouldn't it be something if Paul instructed us, donate blood once a week because you will drink it on Sunday. You will drink it on Sunday. It was his sacrifice, the blood, for all of us. Now, it's interesting, the scriptures that talk about this. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 says, in him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I want to just kind of stop there for a moment. And I want to go way back in the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus, back in Leviticus chapter 16. So if you want to follow, you can. But to me, it's really an amazing passage of scripture. In Leviticus chapter 16, there's something called Yom Kippur. How many have heard that phrase before? Basically, it is a day of atonement, forgiveness of sins that will take place. And if you recall Old Testament, there were sacrifices all the time. And quite literally, some of the priests stood in blood all day long, sacrificing, 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 which really did nothing. It was the beginning of a sacrifice waiting for the sacrifice to take place. It did take place when Jesus died. Now we're on the other side. So wouldn't it be something to come back to the beginning when Moses instructs us, here are the sacrifices that we have to make. And you high priest, you better get used to blood because you're going to be standing in it. You're going to be sacrificing lambs and goats all day long. And now, then the sacrifice takes place. And now we stand over here. And because you and I haven't really slaughtered too many lambs, and because we haven't really watched all those sacrifices, we somehow can think of it intellectually, as opposed to really being part of it. And so Leviticus gives this idea, this interesting concept of there is no real way to come before God without a sacrifice back in the Old Testament that would come when Jesus comes. So they did some interesting things. They had goats for sin offerings and they had young bulls for this and that and so forth. But there was something called a goat who was given a name. The goat was called, anybody know? Scapegoat. So you know, you guys know this goat pretty well. Scapegoat. And the scapegoat was a goat that all the other goats were being sacrificed. The scapegoat wasn't. The scapegoat was allowed to escape. That's why it's called the scapegoat. And the scapegoat would carry all of the sins on Israel on his back. It says in verse 22, the goat will carry on itself all of the sins of Israel to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert, and it will escape. And I don't know if goats talk. I don't think they do, but I think the scapegoat would go, I won the lottery. All my buddies are dead, but I'm set free. But that goat carried all of the sins of Israel on its back out into the wilderness. You and I don't carry those sins because of the ultimate sacrifice by Jesus himself. And you see, Jesus was not the scapegoat. You and I are the scapegoat. We have been set free to live in this world, free of accusation and sin, because there was a goat who refused to escape. He stood there. He put on himself all of the sins of all people from Adam and Eve to Moses to Noah, all the way from generations in the past to today and the future. He did this for us. So when it comes time for communion, we have various thoughts. Maybe we turn inward looking at what's happening in our own life and we say, thank you, God, for blessing us, or we offer prayers. But we're here because of this great Christ who is a faithful witness to us. Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Or Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much so as to even shrink from death. And this is one of the amazing concepts about faith. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, these people of faith, they were person after person after person after person who died, knowing that they were dying for a cause. Even though they weren't going to be around anymore, they knew that there would be one who would come for them, and they gave themselves for us. Last week in Thessalonians, I talked just a little bit about this, that there were people who lived long before us, who never knew us, and yet they lived for us. They gave their lives for us because they knew that Savior would come and set them free and set us free and set our children free and our grandchildren free and for everyone who would accept this great gift. Yeah, the Wizard of Oz was scary. I mean, those flying monkeys terrified me. But there was a cause coming. There was a lot of fear involved with those disciples who heard about Jesus being crucified. But there was a cause coming. And then when Jesus died, it was so bewildering and horrible until a few days later, Jesus said, "Here I am," which again repeats what Jesus has always said. "I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But Jesus, you died. I was still with you." And we have people who've lived lives of faith who aren't with us anymore. But oh yeah, they're still with us. They're still with us. They are a faithful witness as Jesus was and is. So that you and I can learn to be a faithful witness for the generations to come. For the generations to come. They may look back at us and go, "They look funny. They wore funny clothes. They drove things called cars. They were just, you know, kind of a really an odd bunch, but they loved each other because there was one who gave his life for them as the ultimate sacrifice that gave his blood." One more scripture, if you don't mind, a fairly familiar one in 1 John. John is that great apostle, disciple of love. In 1 John chapter 1, he talks about God being light, but there's more to it than that when he says this. "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And I know you know this last part. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from" how many sins? All sins. All sins. The blood sacrifice for all of us. So two ladies were at the bus stop. They were talking. "What is this thing that I hear called Christianity?" And the answer is the simple, simple thing. It's got something to do with the Christ, and it's got something to do with blood. And that's true. He is the sacrifice, but he's alive, who lives in us, who lives with us. And may we live today as grateful people because of what he's done, and yet we live for the generations that will follow. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.